Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss. I call shots
like a blow. In the gloss. Check my lip gloss.
I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson. I got that
sunshine in my pocket. Welcome back. And one of the narratives we've had here on the show tonight is yesterday was Upset Sunday. And we talked about some of the other upsets in hour number one. But an upset to me was the Titans going to L.A. and defeating the Rams. Titans, of course, their first game without Derrick Henry. And the Rams are supposedly this big juggernaut. They're hosting the Titans. Sean McVay, Matt Stafford,
and
all the hype.
Von Miller fortifying that defense that already has Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. I mean, wow.
Yeah, the PR momentum was certainly in the hands of the Rams. But Doug Russell, last segment, made an interesting point when he said, we just don't know what the ceiling really is on Matt Stafford.
Agreed.
I mean, to be sure, he's played some great games, and he's looked great thus far this season. But maybe as the season goes along, when teams figure him out in that offense, maybe when the pressure of playoffs come along, he can't stay at this level. He did not play well yesterday. The Titans really shut down Matt Stafford and the Ram offense.
Yeah, look at his numbers. He had 294 yards, which was very respectable. One TD, two interceptions, and a QBR of 17.6.
That's Jared Goff-type numbers.
It is.
How could that be?
So are we seeing the exposure of Matt Stafford? I mean, what was that yesterday? I mean, is it a one-off, or do you think they're figuring this out?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeffrey Simmons was in his face all day.
Wow, wow, wow.
Three sacks on Stafford in the first half from Jeffrey Simmons.
In the first half alone, but look at the penalties. Undisciplined football by L.A. 12 penalties for 115 yards. That's inexcusable. That's just ridiculous.
Well, and they don't have Von Miller
playing at home
yet. I mean, Von Miller will be on the field going ahead. As Peter King said, they really acquired him for the playoffs much more than the regular season. I mean, here in the regular season, they're now 7-2 even after the loss yesterday. They are a game behind the Cardinals. They've lost to the Cardinals. So it was a game they really needed to win, and yet the Titans were able to come in and pull it out.
Well, and credit the Titans, and look at the games that they have left. Houston, Jacksonville, Miami, and Houston. Wow. Easiest remaining schedule in the NFL.
Well, they've been through the juggernaut if you go back the last four games.
So
credit to them. All right, we will return in just a moment here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the boss.
And the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Okay, it was fun last week. We got our first CFP rankings last Tuesday. They came out, and lo and behold, Michigan State with a loss that certainly shakes things up radically. They fell last Saturday.
To Purdue, yeah.
And so we'll get the second round of the CFP rankings tomorrow. Who do you look to be in the top four?
Oh, you're going there already?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, well, Georgia to me, I mean, they're the far and away number one. And to me, there's a huge gap between number one and everybody else.
Okay.
Everybody else.
I can't argue that.
You know, number two, if I'm looking at, okay, so if we're looking at undefeated teams, last week going into the rankings, it was Georgia, Cincinnati, Wake Forest, Michigan State, and UTSA right here in Texas.
Well, those weren't undefeated. The rankings, but they were undefeated.
Those
yes.
were the undefeated teams.
Sure.
After this week, the only undefeated teams left are Georgia, Cincinnati, and UTSA. Hmm. So obviously we see Georgia where it is. I think Cincinnati.
You're leaving off Oklahoma, of course.
Oh, yes, exactly. Oh, gosh, you're right. Yikes.
But so those are the only undefeated teams left. Yet a lot of one-loss teams are getting a lot of love here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to see Cincinnati in the top four. I think it'll be bold for the committee. They need to do it. But you watched the Cincinnati Tulsa game, and I want to hear about that ending because it was not easy. And do you think they should be in the top four, or do they need more help from Power Five schools?
Well, I'll tell you what, yeah, Cincinnati did not look good yesterday. I mean, Tulsa really had them, and it's just amazing.
With a lot of chances.
A lot of chances there at the end of the game. It was really surprising to me that they weren't able to punch it in. Now, they were down by eight. So it's one thing to say, oh, they should have scored, and they might have scored the touchdown. But then you've got to get the two-point conversion just to tie, and then it would go into overtime. But that was not an easy win for Cincinnati. And look, nobody talks about Tulsa football. No disrespect, but they're 3-6. They're not a powerhouse. And they had a really good chance. I mean, the thing that drove me crazy watching that game was – late in the game, Tulsa's down there inside the five, and their quarterback, Davis Brin, did a RPO. He pulled the handoff out, had open running room, was headed toward the end zone, and when a cornerback came up to meet him, just right at about the goal line, Brin's reaction was to do what they do in the open field. He slid, and he slid about a half yard short of the goal. So he took himself down. If he just lowered his shoulder and run, or maybe even just dove in a certain direction, or just kept running, his momentum would have carried him into the end zone, but he tackled himself on third down, and then on fourth down, they couldn't convert it with a running play up the middle. Tulsa had them right there. And so that raises real questions in my head about Cincinnati, whether they really are a team that deserves to be in the Final Four.
Yeah, it's tough, because I think being in a non-Power 5 conference, in a Group of 5 conference, you really, I feel like Cincinnati, although they're undefeated, and they had that big win at Notre Dame against a very good Notre Dame team that's ranked high, they need help from the Power 5. They do. They need some people to lose. I mean, they really do not control their own destiny, and I think that's unfortunate. What I think is going to be curious is what the committee does tomorrow to Alabama, because while they are a one-loss team, they barely beat a four-loss LSU team 2014 this past weekend.
Yep.
We have seen cracks in the armor in Alabama. I mean, it's very different. And I wonder, we're based here in Houston, if it has anything to do, this offense, with the fact that Bill O'Brien, fired head coach of the Houston Texans, is the OC in Alabama. I'm just curious.
It all comes back to Bill O'Brien. B.O.B.
I don't have faith in that guy. Well, but I think I will be... I can see the committee, they want to love Alabama. There's such a love fest for Alabama,
yep,
and Nick Saban and all that they've done. However, this year, I see other teams that should leapfrog Alabama. I don't see them, definitely not at number two. I could see them just sitting outside the top four at number five. How do you feel about the Tide?
Well, the whole deal to me is, look, I'm fine with it. If they're in the top four right now, so be it. It comes down to what happens with Georgia. If they beat Georgia and they're a one-loss team with a victory over Georgia, they should go in, right? If they lose to Georgia, now they're a two-loss team, kick them out. What I would hate to see, and what Ryan Leaf alluded to earlier in Hour 1, is the committee is almost trying to build the case that, well, maybe Alabama's a two-loss team should still fit in the Final Four. And I guess the case there would be, well, if they're sitting there at number two and they lose narrowly to Georgia, well, then they deserve to just stay there at number two. And that would be egregious to me. I don't want Alabama as a two-loss team in there. I do think that when Alabama and Georgia play, it'll be a very good game. I think Georgia comes out on top. Everybody views Georgia as the best team in the conferences now. So let's kick Alabama out of your Final Four after a loss to Georgia.
Well, and now the cap has blown off. You know, no assistant of Saban's had ever beaten him until Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies took them down earlier this season. So now it's wide open for Kirby Smart, who was, you know, a DC under Saban.
And has long had his heart broken by Alabama.
Oh, my
The Georgia fans I know almost anticipate that their great season's going to unravel in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, no kidding. It's tough. And it's tough to go undefeated. Let's be real about that. So Georgia should be rewarded, and it should come down to Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game. And you're right. With a win, Alabama's in. With a loss, they should be out.
I mean, one team here locally that I'm just shaking my head at is the University of Texas Longhorns, a team believes
monkey
should
business,
do
man.
So well. And the monkey business has gotten to them. Was it the pole dancing or the monkey business?
It's just, you know, it's just a combination. Let's just go.
I prefer pole dancing to monkeys, just to be clear.
That you like to pole dance?
No, I'm going to say that... I think you understand where I'm headed.
I will not call you the pole assassin.
Thank you.
But, you know, I think what is so head-scratching that's going on in Austin, four consecutive losses, three consecutive double-digit, like, just collapses, and then a 30-7 loss to Iowa State this past weekend. Not only that, but the quarterback situation is not set now in Austin. So you had Hudson Card, the redshirt freshman, won the job.
Yep.
He was replaced a few games in by Casey Thompson. Casey Thompson does well, starts for several games, has a broken finger. Now Hudson Card had to go in to finish the loss at Iowa State this past week. So the quarterback position's a mess. Wide receiver Joshua Moore dismissed this week from the program because of a verbal altercation with Steve Sarkisian that was ugly, apparently. And, you know, you look at Joshua Moore, he's their 2020 leading receiver. He's played in all nine games this year. He's second on the team in receptions, third in receiving yards with 265 yards this season. In three seasons at UT, 61 passes, almost 800 yards, and 13 TDs. And Sarkisian says he's off to the transfer portal. Done. My question to you, given what we know about Sarkisian, his mess at USC, he's now got a very outstanding coach in Jeff Banks, assistant coach in special teams, who is making headlines for dating the pole assassin with a wild monkey who bit a kid on Halloween. And I mean, good gosh, I can't make this stuff up. Do you believe that the Longhorn players, is Sark getting the most out of them, or is he suffering from a lack of respect?
It's a great question. The dynamic at Texas, it seems like forever, is they always recruit all these five-star athletes. They always have one of the top recruiting classes.
Yes, but they're behind Baylor in recruiting. They're behind several of the Big 12 schools
right
now.
Historically, at least, they recruit well, and then they don't play well. This year, it looks like they're not recruiting well, and they're certainly not playing well. I just am amazed that organization can't get to better heights. I mean, they're still paying the salary for Tom Herman. He was under contract. They cut him before contract. And now they've got the Sarkisian mess, and who knows how long is it going to take to sort out. But it's a storied franchise. It's a franchise with lots and lots of talent all around it, and yet they've not been able to right the ship.
No, and with all the money and all the power at the University of Texas, there is no excuse for not getting this right. This is on Chris Del Conte, the AD there at Texas. He needs to get this right. And the Board of Regents, they are powerful. They are wealthy. College football is better when UT is relevant. Time to get these guys relevant.
All right, you heard it here. Next up you'll hear here is Howard Balzer. And this is the moment when Carla pulls her hair back and sits up straight, because we're going to have Howard Balzer join us. He is our Sports Map Radio
clean up my act, is that
what NFL expert. Yes, we love Howard. I want to ask him where OBJ is going to land. OBJ likely to be signed this week by somebody. Where will he be? We will hear from Howard Balzer up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows when it's time to replace your white blades. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is one of our favorites, Sports Map Radio NFL expert Howard Balzer. Howard, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Great to be with you all again. Happy Monday after week 9 in the NFL, and we're hurtling towards this season, obviously, halfway through.
Well, I'll tell you, Howard, it's not super happy in this studio because Cradle Raiders fan here, Cowboy Ooh. Guy over there. It was a rough Sunday. Not loving that. I'm telling you that right now. Woo.
Very rough Sunday, certainly, and obviously in Raider land, very rough week, yep. Especially off the field with, you know, two guys that not just Henry Ruggs, but now Damon Arnett is gone after a video surfaced of him threatening someone with a gun. And, I mean, my goodness. I mean, that's, you know, that's the chances you take. And, you know, Mike Mayock said it. This one's on me. And he did a lot of research. There were questions about him. They decided to, you know, take the chance, and boom, now he's not on the roster. And that's sometimes what happens when you take chances on guys that you're that you just have some serious off-field questions about in terms of how they will fit and whether they will do what they're supposed to do.
Well, and you know, I credit Raider Nation because they did, the Raiders organization did everything they could to help him, and he was unhelpable. But you look at what they've done with Darren Waller and the resources they've added and Max Crosby, and that has turned out beautifully for them. So, you know, it's been a rough month or so for Las Vegas, but they've cut their losses quickly and just, you know, picking up and trying to move on. And I don't like a better leader than Derek Carr to help them do this.
No, it's a good point. And you make a good point on the guys that, you know, that have worked out. It's just awfully difficult when you have two guys that were first round picks. It doesn't last.
Draft.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't last. And then when it doesn't last very long like that, it's really difficult to stomach.
Howard, I want to ask you about a different player who is no longer on a roster, OBJ. Where will OBJ land?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Yeah, he's in that limbo now for a little less than 24 hours now, where by 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, teams will, if they have, will have put in waiver claims. Most everyone thinks that no one will claim him because of the money left on the contract, and I think teams would, especially because of cap reasons and all those things, and here's the thing: even if you have the cap room, once you bring him on, and if he's going to need time to get accustomed to wherever he is, and so that $7 million, you know, here's the thing about it. A lot of people say, well, if you have the cap room, use it. Well, you know what? You can carry over cap money. Cap stuff that you don't use 1 year, you can carry it over to the next year. So that's something that has to be in teams' minds. So if he becomes a free agent Tuesday afternoon, I think there's a variety of places where he could land. And it's funny how many people are mentioning the Raiders, but I'm not going to put Beckham in the class of some other guys in terms or the issues they've had, because he hasn't had off the field issues, but he's also maybe, you know, not the greatest guy within a team. And I think that's what teams, I think, are going to be looking at with him. And especially a guy who wants the ball. He always wants it. And like I said earlier, you get to a new team in the middle of the season. Now you have to learn a new offense. You have to get on the same page as the quarterback. And if that doesn't happen real quickly, is he going to be grousing, saying, hey, I'm not getting the ball. What's going on here? I made the wrong decision. So this is going to be interesting to me to see what teams, you know, truly go after him. I mean, New Orleans has said, New Orleans basically said they won't claim him on waivers because of the cap situation. Now, if he's a free agent, maybe the Saints go after him and say, hey, look, play for us for X dollars for the rest of the year. Prove to us that you can do the right thing, and that can lead to something in 2022. There's some who think it might be New England. I mean, the Patriots are sneaking up on this league, and all of a sudden they're over 500. They're right on the heels of the Bills now in the division, and we also know that Bill Belichick teams usually get better in the second half of seasons. So I think the Patriots are a team to keep an eye out, not just for Beckham, but just watch them for the rest of the year because of the way they're playing right now.
Well, Howard, you bring up a great point about New England, and it seems like one of the only coaches that could maybe snap OBJ out of this cycle that he's in, which is, hey, Giants, you didn't do enough for me. I got to go someplace. Cleveland, you're not doing enough for me. I got to go someplace. And then you've got the cringeworthiness of dad sending a video over social media.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even want parents to be talking to a high school coach, let alone a dad doing it. I'm so confused by this because his OBJ's talent level is unparalleled. Yet I don't know with anybody other than possibly a Bill Belichick that a coach or a team can make this guy into a team player, because he certainly hasn't shown me anything that he is.
No, it's a good point. And here's the thing. It's not only that issue of that aspect of being a team player. And I guess what I'm going to say next kind of fits in to that in different ways. But, you know, that video that his father sent. Oh, look at this. He's open here. He's open there. But most everyone will say a lot of times he's open, but he's not where he's supposed to be on the field. And so because he just freelances. And so much in the NFL is about timing and quarterbacks knowing where a receiver is going to be. And if all of a sudden a receiver is somewhere where he's not supposed to be, and then they blame the quarterback for not finding him, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch. And so going to New England, a team that their mantra is do your job, well, they'd have to be pretty comfortable that he's going to do his job. And he say, hey, here's your route. Run your route. Run it the way it's supposed to be run. And so that's the true question with him. And so is that not totally, you know, is that not being a team player? Well, he can argue, well, I'm just trying to get open to help my team. But the bottom line is you're also doing things that are about yourself because you're just freelancing and not doing it the way it's supposed to be done. And so on that level, yeah, you can argue that's not being a team player.
We're talking to Howard Balzer, NFL expert on here on the SportsMap Radio Network. Yeah, I worry about OBJ getting in the ear of Mac Jones. Mac Jones does not need it. He's developing just fine. Yeah. He's all right. And let me shift gears to your Cardinals for a minute, because Colt McCoy came in and he played a pretty good game yesterday. Does that give them the liberty to rest Kyler Murray just a little bit longer?
It very well could. It very well could. And the thing about it was Cliff Kingsbury was very smart with the game plan. And he got McCoy into a little bit of a rhythm early with some, you know, relatively simple completions. And they were doing, you know, some screens and quick passes and things like that. He took a couple shots downfield, but not that much. And they ran the ball well. And so that could give them that feeling, hey, let's be really sure. They have Carolina coming in, coming to Arizona next week, then a road game at Seattle, then the bye. So they do have a little leeway, especially with an 8-1 record, to say, okay, let's really make sure that Kyler Murray is healthy. I'm told that he was pretty close this past week and made a lot of progress, so I think there's a good chance that he'll be ready. But if he's totally not, then you say, hey, let's go out and once again do what we did this past week when they were playing without DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green. And then they had changes on the offensive line during the game again for like the fourth or fifth time this year. And this is a team that just close their eyes to adversity. And it's like, okay, so be it. We're, you know, the old, you kind of laugh sometimes or chuckle at the whole next man up mentality. But this team is taking it to a team, to a T, I should say, with all the things that they have overcome this year. This was another game they played without three assistant coaches, and yet they go out and win by two touchdowns. It's pretty remarkable what they are accomplishing, I think.
Well, you know, success in the NFL is all about adjustments, and it looks like Arizona is doing just that, which is impressive. So you mentioned Carolina. They're about to face Carolina. What should the Panthers do with Sam Darnold? Man, a three-interception game again this week. Should he be benched?
If they had a viable alternative, excuse me, I would say maybe they should. But I think that, you know, Matt Rhule has to be really sure. They've got to really know what they have in him, because he had been playing well. Mm-hmm. He's had some good games. Certainly a lot of quarterbacks have bad ones. And so you also have to analyze what was the situation on those interceptions, how many of them were totally his fault. But obviously you can't have that many mistakes and hope to win in this league. So I would think they're going to stick with him at least for a little bit longer, because they still have an okay record. They could still be in the hunt for a wild card, and obviously you want to win games. So I don't think, it's just my gut feeling, I don't think he'll be benched right now, but obviously more performances like that could send him to the bench, and mm-hmm. and the Panthers could be very well saying to themselves, why did we go ahead and put this fifth-year option on him? And in a sense, you know, almost committing to next year, although in some ways they could get out of it, but they'd have to start over at that position, which is something obviously they probably don't want to do.
He's Howard Balzer, NFL expert. You can hear him on Saturdays on Biggs and Balzer here on the network. Howard, really appreciate your joining us today.
My pleasure always. Look forward to talking to you next week. Take care.
Talk next week. Thanks. Bye.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
So it's great to have Howard Balzer with us in the last segment. And he said something that I think it made you shudder there, Carla. He was talking about perhaps OBJ is being a fit with the Raiders,
ooh, yeah,
your team.
Made you shudder.
But Ruggs is out. There's a gap. You've got DeSean Jackson stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think DeSean Jackson can help fill that void? DeSean, by all accounts, at age 35, still has a lot of speed left in those legs.
Yes, I do think he can. I don't want to bring it. Listen, the Raiders right now are in a, not at their own doing, in a cleansing mode. I mean, it's not been self-cleansing, but it's what's happening. And do not bring in what I consider a cancer to the team. Because while OBJ, as I said, his talent is undeniable, he has done nothing for the teams he has been a part of. And let me look, he's not to be trusted, is what I'm saying. You know, with the Giants, what I remember is when he was in a hotel in France with cocaine in the picture, what looked like a stripper and an empty pizza box. I remember that. I remember, you know, lifting his leg up as a sideline celebration. I remember him kicking a net. Do I remember him helping them win? No. In Cleveland, I remember him being fined for not taking off some fancy watch.
Yeah, it was a $100,000 watch.
Yeah, making a big scene right when, like, his first game in Cleveland. And then you hear Baker Mayfield in the presser this weekend saying, no, he's still my good friend. Have you talked to him yet? No. Okay, well, if a good friend is up and leaving you, don't you think you might pick up the phone? I mean, if you're going to quit on me, David, you're going to call me and say, Carla, I'm done with the show. Sorry, moving on, better pastures, because you're a good friend. What kind of good friend is that?
Yeah.
I don't trust that guy. So what Las Vegas does not need is a head case, drama, headlines. They have a talented group of receivers.
Sure.
They do. And I'm really sad about all the events with around Henry Ruggs, about the family that he affected. I mean, a death occurred. It's terrible. But bringing OBJ in, I don't trust
him.
That's
not the answer.
That's not the answer for me. No.
It's interesting because he also mentioned OBJ to the Patriots, and there's the old parallel that, well, they brought in Randy Moss and they got him on the right track. But I think the big difference is back then, Randy Moss, there was a quarterback there named Tom Brady who had been successful prior. Yes, there was Belichick, but I don't want OBJ in the ear of Mac Jones.
No.
Throw it to me every single play, which is what I think was disruptive for Baker Mayfield. By all accounts, by every stat, Baker Mayfield has been a better quarterback when OBJ is not on the field. And so I don't think Mac Jones needs to go down that route either.
No, I don't. And if you look at the last 2 years for OBJ in Cleveland, here's his numbers. 17 catches, 232 yards, and zero touchdowns. Oh, that's this season, sorry. And he only had 200-yard games in 29 games with the Browns. Not to mention he's been on the IR a lot. So I don't see where he is a good fit for many, many programs.
Well, it's hard to find them. The Seahawks are mentioned as well. And perhaps he can fit in there. Pete Carroll has a way of relating to players. Russell Wilson is a big force in that locker room. Russell Wilson presumably would not be affected as much by that loud voice of OBJ in the huddle. We'll see. But the Seahawks are certainly on the short list of considerations.
Yeah, they are. But I think it's time for OBJ to stop running from team to team to get himself fixed. Look in the mirror. It's on him.
One development when we talk about the Patriots is that they are now 5 wins, 4 losses. They have won 3 in a row. They are an emerging team. They seem to have found the winning formula, and it's a little bit old school. It's a very, very, very stout defense. They run the ball well, and they have a quarterback who is probably at this point in his career a game manager, managing the game quite effectively. And the Patriots now are a team. When you look at the AFC, which has been up and down, 1 week this team is the darling of the AFC. It might be the Ravens. It might be the Bills 1 week. And then they falter. It's been the Raiders. It's been the Chargers, everyone's faltered and gone up and down. The Patriots now seem to be an ascending team in the AFC and certainly worthy of attention.
I mean, they are trailing the Bills by only a half a game.
Can you believe that?
No.
Because the thought was the Bills were an uber elite team. Coming into the season, certainly the Bills and the Chiefs, they were the uber elite of the AFC. Chiefs have had their issues, which we talked about. Bills sitting at 5-3, Patriots 5-4. Astounding. So one fun little thing, I was reading the Boston Globe this morning, and this just shows the power of a hometown paper. But the headline was, after the Patriots had won their third game in a row, can we start to look ahead to a Super Bowl matchup of Brady versus Belichick? And it just shows how eager people are to see that. But remember when Brady and Belichick met here in the regular season, there was all that hype. Can you just imagine if the two of them were to meet in their Super Bowl game, Belichick with the Patriots and their Buccaneers with Brady? It would just be an outrageous storyline. I don't think the Patriots are there yet. Buccaneers may well get there, but Patriots certainly look like a team on their way to the playoffs.
I think so, too. And Bill Belichick's got to be happy with the development he's seen from Mac Jones. It's a great pick at 15.
So yesterday, there were four former Super Bowl matches. There were rematches, effectively, of four former Super Bowls. You have the Chiefs and the Packers, Patriots and Panthers, Broncos and Cowboys, which goes all the way back to the 70s, and then the Titans and the Rams, four great Super Bowl games. And it was fun to see them replay and see all the flashbacks of those games. I mean, some of those games pretty notable. Patriots-Panthers.
That was here in Houston.
And it may well be known for?
The wardrobe malfunction.
Thank you. I needed you to say that. Yes, I mean, that was a great
Janet
game.
Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake. It was famous, infamous.
It was a great.
I was there in person.
You were there? Did you see the wardrobe malfunction?
I was on the backside.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's probably a blessing.
Oh. All right. Well, that was a good game, though. Actually, great very game. Well-played game. And Patriots won it late. Broncos, Cowboys. Cowboys just crushed the Broncos.
I know. That makes you so happy.
Which was a good day.
Which was a reverse of yesterday.
Interesting thing, Titans-Rams, a legendary finish, of course. Mike Jones with that game-saving tackle at the one-yard line. But what's striking to me is when I look at of all the Super Bowls that have ever been played in my lifetime, there's only one that I have missed, and it was that game. I had to fly to Europe, and I was on a plane in Europe, and I missed it. But, of course, I watched that play over and over again. Really hard. I mean,
that's a pretty good streak you've got going there.
Yeah, but missing a Super Bowl is a devastating thing.
No, it's a big deal.
It feels like you've really missed out on a part of American culture.
Yes, I agree with you.
All right. Another game I thought was a bit of an upset yesterday. Not a monster upset, but it was Browns over Bengals. Because Browns, of course, had to deal this week with their own turmoil, the OBJ departure. And then there was the question of would the Browns be able to focus? Would they play at a high level? And the Bengals, who just a couple weeks ago had beaten the Ravens and were the darlings of the AFC, have Joe Burrow. They have a lot of things going for them. But the Browns really came to play and played well, and Baker Mayfield and team got things going again.
Yes, they did. And Nick Chubb ran the ball really, really well, and he set up play-action game very well. I still am not sold on Baker Mayfield as the guy that can take them there. But I do see, if you look at Mayfield's stats with OBJ, and without, they are better without. So I'm not surprised that they came out on fire. But now you've got both Ohio teams sitting at 5-4 after the 41-16 beatdown of the Bengals yesterday.
Well, for them, the Browns, it all just does. It comes back to how well will they run the ball. And Nick Chubb ran 14 times for 137 yards. And then that sets up the play action. You know, you look at Baker Mayfield's stats yesterday. He was somewhat of a game manager. He did make the great deep pass early in the game, but his stats were not overwhelming. 14 for 21 for 218 yards, but he did make the deep ball work. And the real story there, though, I think for the Browns, was their defense. Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, two standouts. And when you look at a defensive guy.
How fast is Denzel Ward?
Oh, Denzel Ward.
I mean, flames coming out of his shoes. That was so fun. His 99-yard pick six, that was exciting.
99-yard pick six, outstanding. And you think about sort of the defensive duos. Yes, you can talk Aaron Jones and Jalen Ramsey of the Rams. And I think you have to pick Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward as some of the top two duos, front court, back court type kind of players. Cowboys might make a claim with Micah Parsons rushing the passer and Trayvon Diggs in the back. That you've got a nice front and back play there. But those guys have really stood out and performed well. And look, Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett, that Browns defense is a big part of their whole story. It's amazing how many headlines go to Baker Mayfield, but when you really look at their wins and losses, it comes down to how well they run the ball.
The run game and the defense.
And how well they play defense.
100%. And I think if you're a Cleveland fan, you really have to be comfortable with the fact that if you stick with Baker Mayfield, he is going to be a game manager. And you hope at best that he doesn't lose it for you. And that's going to be a decision for the Browns whether than to go pay him. But for the number one pick in the draft, I think he is underperforming. But I think he is doing what he needs to do right now. But, you know, every week it's a different story. Inconsistency, and I think game manager is the best that you can hope for.
One guy who seems who is coming up for a payday as well, in addition to Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who in the last few weeks has been leading his team from behind. He's been making throws that he didn't make just a year or two ago. He came into this season saying, I want to show that I can be a pocket passer and I can run. I don't have to run to set up my pass. And it seems like he's taking his game to a new level.
He's playing for a contract. I mean, he sees Josh Allen got his payday at $258 million. He's playing for a contract. And check out this. Lamar Jackson is 12-0 versus NFC opponents. 12-0. And yesterday they rallied from down 14 to get a win in overtime against Minnesota. Wow.
And I think part of that is because his style of play is different. Mm-hmm. They run that RPO so successfully with him that the NFC teams aren't used to seeing that. And when he comes in there, yeah, he plays at a whole different level and a whole different way, and those NFC teams are always seemingly on the losing end.
Do you think this is his best year to take it to the Super Bowl?
Well, you look at the AFC, and it's wide open. I mean, I might have said the Bills just a week ago, and then they just lost to the Jaguars. So, sure, I think the Ravens are on that short list. I might have said the Chiefs. Oh, three. Five, six, seven games ago, in the year.
Not now.
But I can't say the Chiefs now. There's not a standout. I might have said the Titans a week ago, but then Derrick Henry went down. So, sure, the Ravens, I'm not giving up on the Bills, but I think the Ravens and the Bills are probably the two teams that are most likely to be in the AFC Championship game.
And there's still a long season to go.
Oh, there will be narratives up and down all along the way to
be sure. At least
we're
seeing a lot more parity, that's for sure. We don't have a solid front runner that I can see at this point. In any of the divisions.
All right, when we come back, it is Monday night, and we've got a matchup. It's the Bears at the Steelers. We got Z-Pack behind the glass. He's on pins and needles. He's a long-standing, now long-suffering Bears fan. When we come back, we're going to give our picks. We'll hear from everyone here on who will win tonight.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. It is Monday Night Football about to get underway. Bears visiting the Steelers. We have our resident Chicago expert, Z-Pack, here behind the glass. Now, Z-Pack, we call you Z-Pack because you are the remedy. You know make things work, right?
I like it.
But tonight, I don't think you can make these Bears work out well. Bears are, they're 7-point underdogs to the Steelers. What do you think about this matchup? How do you slice it up?
I think it'll be a minor miracle if the Bears reach double digits, whether it's, a few field goals and a fluke touchdown or a touchdown and maybe a couple of field goals. I'm not sure, but I don't see the Bears scoring many points tonight. I don't see the offense having a very good time against the Steelers' defense, so I'm thinking Pittsburgh wins and probably by more than that 7 that they're getting.
Pittsburgh wins, covers the spread. Carla, what do you say?
Yeah, I've got Pittsburgh as well. I think they're looking for their fourth straight win over Chicago. Roethlisberger's 24-2 against rookie quarterbacks. Even though I'm not enamored with him, I see a win for Pittsburgh tonight in Pittsburgh.
I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is still great.
It's great.
Tomlin's the better coach in this game. He's been an amazing coach for a long, great run with the Steelers.
I mean, the Steelers have had three head coaches since 1969. Can you just even fathom that?
Well, yeah. So Noel
crazy.
And
Bill Cowher
and Tomlin. It's amazing. So those guys, I mean, the Steelers have had amazing continuity.
So if you want job stability, you want to be hired as the Steelers head coach.
Well, yeah, but you also have to perform at a really
yes,
high
you
level.
Do.
All
yes,
those
you
coaches
do.
really deserve a lot of credit for making that franchise pretty special.
And I love Mike Tomlin. He has had a lot of drama. When you think that he had the Killer Bees with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and Roethlisberger. I mean, he's been through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's navigated through that. The fate of that franchise, though, that looms over them is, what are they going to do at the quarterback position? Because
who's in his last year?
Yeah, Big Ben's probably not going to win another contract. Super Bowl with them. And he's probably in his last year ever. He's going to retire. And then they don't really have an heir apparent coming. I mean, for all the noise and shame on the Packers for drafting the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers too early, the Packers may have waited. I mean, the Steelers may have waited too long. I mean, they don't have a vision. They don't have anybody coming up to replace Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe they need to go and do a, like what Denver did with Peyton Manning. They need to go find some veteran, bring in Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, and then all things would work.
You think Deshaun would waive his no-trade clause for Pittsburgh?
Ooh, I think he would.
I mean, Mike Tomlin would be a fabulous coach for Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm sure Deshaun wants to go to Pittsburgh. It's not quite got the same allure as Miami, but, there's the thought.
Deshaun has said he's open to Miami for sure.
He's waived that. He's waived the no-trade clause for that.
Yeah, the Steelers would be a place where he could go and really go to a high level, I think.
Yeah, right away.
All right, we're all picking the Steelers to cover the points.
But after Upset Sunday, who knows what's going to happen tonight, Kevin? Maybe some good juju for you.
Upset Monday for Kevin.
Fingers crossed.
Woo! All righty, thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.